The Art Spot, brought to you as a part of WCHL's Lifestyle Series. And now your host, Art Menias, Executive Director of the Art Center in Carrboro.
Welcome to the Art Spot on WCHL FM 97.9, chapelboro.com. We have a great show today because we're talking about the Carrboro Poetry Festival coming up on Saturday, October 20th. We have with us Catherine Devine, Salisa Steele, and Tyler Johnson. Welcome to the Art Spot.
Thanks, Art.
Thank you.
So, what will folks find when they come either to the festival itself on the 20th or the kickoff event on the Friday the 19th, Catherine?
They'll find a lot of very nice sounds, not set to music for a change, but the sound of poetry, which is we want to emphasize to the WCHL audience that if you don't think that poetry floats your boat, you're wrong. It really, poetry is everywhere. And that's one, and so the theme of this year's festival is the harvest, October being the harvest month traditionally, and the abundance of poetry that really is all around us every day.
Yeah, poetry is very much as essential to life as music. It does surround us, and often, like music, can fall into the background.
Well, if you sing to music, you are singing poems.
Yeah. You surely are. And speaking of poems, we have with us the poet Salisa Steele. Her first chapbook, How Language is Lost, appeared last year. She's had poems in such publications as Tar River Poetry, the Anglican Theological Review, South Carolina Review, Wild Goose Poetry, and other places. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How long have you been writing?
As long as I can remember, you know. Excellent. And there have been times when I've been more or less involved in it, but I really sort of re-engaged probably about 6 years ago, and getting the chapbook out last year was a nice sort of sense of making some progress here and not just doing the same things I was doing in elementary school.
Indeed. I believe you have a couple of poems to share with us today.
Sure, that'd be great. I'll read one from How Language is Lost. And, you know, as Catherine was saying, you know, poetry is sort of everywhere. So the inspiration for this poem is Ping Pong. It's called Ping Pong as Poetry. And it has an epigraph from How Does a Poem Mean, which the poets Miller Williams and John Ciardi wrote. And they said, every game ever invented by mankind is a way of making things hard for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. And I've always really liked that as a definition of poetry, that poetry is a kind of game, and you have fun with the things that are hard in it. And yeah, so this is called Ping Pong as Poetry. Most like a poem, this onomatopoeic game with its spondaic name, ping pong, an agile metaphor of structure, form, meter, and rhyme, squared lines and neat net, the single bounce, the paddle, a pen, writes the ball back and forth, forth and back, constantly corrects, revises, and the best shots, the ones that hug the line, barely grace the table. This lightness, this skill, knip, knop, most like a poem.
Wow, lovely.
Thank you.
What poets have particularly influenced you, Salisa?
Oh, that's a very good question, and one I always have trouble answering. I really like Kathy Smith Bowers, who just left the state poet laureate position, and now Joseph Bethanty's in that position. But I really admire her work quite a bit. Miller Williams is a poet, and you know, he had mentioned that epigraph, but I really have liked his work. And he was at the University of Arkansas. I was born and raised in Arkansas. He actually lived in the house next to my parents' house, so sort of, you know, I've lived in the neighborhood of poetry for a long time. So.
No wonder you've been writing as long as you can remember.
Yeah. I mean, Billy Collins, Sarah Lindsay, I just heard her this past Saturday at a North Carolina Poetry Society event and really, really liked what I heard. I mean, that's the amazing thing is there's so many great poets, not just here in the area, but, you know, of course, by the time you start looking across the state and across the country and internationally, so.
Yeah. Now, will folks get to enjoy hearing you read at the festival?
Yes. I will be reading along with Tyler and Susan Spalt and William Stott. We're planning to be reading with Alan Shapiro on Saturday, and it's going to be in a session kind of focused around why write. You know, what's sort of the impulse and what drives people to write. So we think it'll be fun. It'll be a combination of reading and discussion about that theme of why write.
Yeah. And Catherine, before we hear Lisa read another poem for us, where will the event take place and how can folks get more information?
Oh, my, it's in Century Hall in downtown Carrboro. Century Hall is a wonderful space, just wonderful. And we look forward to designing the hall, which is vast, in a more intimate, as an intimate setting where three or four things can be happening at once.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Century Hall in the Century Center.
Century Hall.
In downtown Carrboro, North Carolina, for the Carrboro Poetry Festival on Saturday, October 20th.
Starting at noon. With events up. We have it designed in such a way that some people might want to come for selected segments of the afternoon. All designed, all wrapping around that harvest theme. To market is the publishing part, and Seeds of Change is the political part. Yeah. For example, Wildflowers is the open mic, where people anybody who shows up is welcome to read for up to 5 minutes.
Excellent. Well, Salisa Steele, would you close out this first segment of today's Art Spot with another one of your poems?
I'd love to. This one is called To a Son on the Verge of Divorce. The first time you really cried, not I'm hungry or I'm tired, but I'm hurt. I'd snapped the car seat buckle shut, your perfect 2-month-old skin caught in the plastic jaws. I can still see the shock and inscrutable thoughts in your eyes. Then a wail, a keening akin to the lament of all the centuries forlorn, the orphaned, the widowed and wounded. Imagine crying with such conviction, still, as if the worst that can be done is done, as though the heart weren't a mutt chained in the muddy yard of another midnight, where it barks and howls until one day we have no choice but to cut it free.
Wow. That's a lovely poem, and that brings this segment of the Art Spot to a close. We will be right back on the Art Spot after this, talking about the Carrboro Poetry Festival on October 20th on WCHL FM 97.9. We are back on the Art Spot talking about the Carrboro Poetry Festival happening on October 20th at the Century Hall in the Century Center in downtown Carrboro. We have with us Tyler Johnson, who works at UNC and writes poetry and fiction at night. He has a book out in 2004 called The Swamps That Are Close. He's working on a couple of new books as we speak, except that we dragged him down here to the CHL studios and away from his work. But before we hear a couple of your poems, Tyler, tell us about I guess you could say the best-known or headlining poets for the festival.
Oh, thanks, Art. Yeah, we're really fortunate. On Saturday night, we're going to be featuring Carrboro's own poet laureate, Jay Bryan, who will be giving a reading. He's been serving in that position for, I guess, about 2 years now. Is that right, Catherine?
Going on 3.
Yeah, so he's been just a wonderful influence in bringing poetry to the community. For official events.
And he takes the role seriously.
Yeah. So a lot of leadership from Jay. And then afterwards, we'll be hearing from Alan Shapiro. We're extremely fortunate this year to have Alan with us. He's very well known nationally and internationally. And we met with him recently, and he has some wonderful and funny ideas. I think folks will find it quite entertaining.
Excellent. And where does Alan Shapiro live?
Well, Alan's local, and he will be – he's a faculty at UNC yeah. Chapel Hill. But we are fortunate to get him for our festival.
Excellent. This is a truly exciting event. And while we have you here, Tyler Johnson, would you share a poem with us?
I will share a poem. Thanks for asking. I have a poem from my upcoming book, Dancing the Haw, and I understood that you're a banjo player. Is that right?
I'm a banjo lover, a banjo aficionado. I could hardly be called a player.
A banjo lover. That's wonderful because I'm a banjo player and lover myself, and we don't often get a lot of love. So I have written an ode to the tenor banjo, which is what I play. I'll share that with you. Oh, simplest of machines, an embarrassment of hardware, the kind of thing one would make when stranded with only a wooden stake, a metal pot, the remains of a tent flap, and a skin of wine. What other possible engineering could be made? My God, we are doomed. Well, it's the best we've got, and our only hope out of here. Let's see if there's any music in this thing. We tune it, and it produces not notes exactly, but a kind of rasping plop, like the farting of metal frogs. But we crank it faster and grin as the thing picks up speed and starts a rhythmic clatter, like a stick caught in the spokes of a bicycle wheel. Faster we turn, and these pellets of sound pepper us like meteor spray. It is rising. This machine is going to take off. It can fly. It will take us out of here.
Oh, beautiful, Tyler. That captured a lot of the essence of that half-barbaric instrument.
It's an ungraceful thing, isn't it?
It is. It is engineered. It's. I mean, what other musical instrument gets taken apart so often as the banjo? There, you don't take apart guitars. You don't take apart string basses.
That's true.
Oh, that's lovely. Banjo poetry does exist. It's nice to know we have at least one serious banjo poet here in town.
Right here. This may be the center of it.
Could be. It was the center of the string band revival, so why shouldn't it be the center of banjo poetry, Kathy?
You know, well, why not? When I hear banjo music and music of that genre, if you will, it always has a name. Well, let's play Morning in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I say, why did they call it that? And I'm thinking now that I'm starting to think more like a poet than I ever have in my life, that's the poetic part. You know, to this musician, that sounds like Morning in Minnesota.
Yep, yeah. And those tunes go way back, those two
oh,
names.
Yes.
And I think that's part of the beauty of poetry, especially that's happening now. It's not this inaccessible thing, which
right.
it might have seemed like in third grade. But it's actually something that you can pass around with your friends, you know, everyday sort of poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what's excited me, what's been happening with the kids over the last 20, 30 years with hip-hop music, is they're discovering the joy of making up poems themselves. And it is something that you can participate in that you don't have to have gotten an MFA to do, that anybody can enjoy and appreciate.
Oh yeah,
take part
this
in.
Is a good time to mention that we're featuring among many other excellent poets, the Sacrificial Poets here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. I think they're based in Chapel Hill. I'm sure they're very local. This is a trio of three young men who have really turned poetry into a performance art.
Yeah, we love the Sacrificial Poets.
Everybody does. Everybody does.
Yeah, well, before this segment gets away from us, Tyler, would you share another poem, please?
I do. I have another short poem. This is also from my upcoming book, and it's one I wrote for my father or about my father, and I found it's really struck a chord with others in a similar situation. He's currently struggling with dementia and with some issues after a stroke. It's called Fishing for Words. It used to frustrate you so when the familiar silvery words would wriggle free of your sure hands and disappear beneath the lake, its surface yet glistening in the morning. But the stroke and dementia have led you upstream to the creek, its ceiling darkened by the trees folded over the channel. Your tackle box rests with its drawers agape, lures, hooks, and leaders strewn across the rock where you forgot your task of sorting. You are bent now, the water lapping your ankles, your hands quietly grappling for hours, trying to untie this growing knot in your line.
Wow. Excellent. Tyler Johnson, one of the many poets that you'll be hearing read at the Carborough Poetry Festival at the Century Hall and the Century Center in downtown Carborough next Saturday, October 20th. We'll be right back after this on the Art Spot on WCHL FM 97.9. We're back on the Art Spot with Tyler Johnson and Catherine Devine talking about the Carborough Poetry Festival. The main part of the festival is happening on Saturday, October 20th, next Saturday, at the Century Hall of the Century Center in downtown Carborough, North Carolina. But we're also having a free kickoff event, and the whole festival itself is free. No admission charge, no invitation needed. But Catherine, tell us about the event Friday night at Flyleaf Books on Martin Luther King Boulevard.
The event on Friday the 19th at Flyleaf will feature published poets who are represented by Flyleaf Books. They'll be present and reading that evening with books of theirs for sale, of course.
Excellent. And buying books directly from the poet is one of the great ways any individual can keep poetry alive and thriving, because you're directly supporting that poet. I mean, you can come up to Tyler Johnson and buy his book from him rather than antiseptically ordering it over the internet.
That's right. It's a lot more fun that way. And there'll be books for sale at Flyleaf on Friday night, but also all during the day on Saturday. And you can meet the poets and talk to them directly and take a look. Maybe you might like to purchase a poetry book as a gift this year.
It's a great gift, and what a wonderful opportunity, both at Flyleaf next Friday night, the 19th, or Saturday, October 20th, at the Carborough Poetry Festival, to see the works of so many outstanding published local poets available in one place. It's a real cornucopia of poetry, and unlike ordering off the internet or even going to a great bookstore like Flyleaf, this is a direct personal connection to the poet, and you can ask the poet to autograph the volume for yourself, or the person for whom you're buying it is a very special holiday gift. And since these events for the Carborough Poetry Festival charge no admission, it's a great way to invest that money you're not spending on a ticket.
And in the spirit, in the festival spirit, we will also have a presence on Friday, October 12th, on the Carborough Art Walk.
That art walk has already happened day before yesterday, but it will be a wonderful event at Flyleaf Books on next Friday, the 19th, and then the Carborough Poetry Festival itself happening on October 20th at Century Hall in the Century Center, right in downtown Carborough, between Weaver Street and Tyler's restaurant. restaurant, and that of the Poetry Festival itself on Saturday is starting when, Catherine?
Starts at noon at the Century Hall. We'll be at the farmer's market that morning.
Great.
With a gift basket. If you stop by the farmer's market, you could win a gift basket that same afternoon.
Excellent. And where can folks go to get more information about the Carrboro Poetry Festival?
We have a website. The town of Carrboro manages our website. It's a town-sponsored event, right? It is CarrboroPoetryFestival.org.
CarrboroPoetryFestival.org. Thanks to Salisa Steele, Catherine Devine, and Tyler Johnson for being our guests on the Art Spot today. We look forward to seeing you at the Carrboro Poetry Festival on the 20th, next Saturday. This has been the Art Spot on WCHL 97.9 FM.